want to read a few verses from you that will build up your faith in God's Word. In Romans 10:17 we read, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. May your faith build as you hear God's Word today." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11 says, "For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Also in Hebrews 11, verse 6, we read, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Also in 1 John 5, verse 4, we read, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." In Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." I want to assure you as you listen to this tape that God does answer prayers. Here's just a few verses that talk to us about how God answers prayer. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." Also we read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Another great verse regarding God answering prayers is Jeremiah 33, verse 3, where we read, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Another one of my favorites is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, where we read, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I encourage you as you listen to these words today to come boldly before God and not be afraid to ask for help. God really does want to answer your prayers. Let me go through a number of verses for you today as you listen that will assure you that you can have victory over the sickness that you're facing. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, we read, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 36, we read, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like having no shepherd." In Luke 6:19, we read, "And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him, and he healed them all." Those are great verses about what Jesus did when he walked the seashore of Galilee. We read also now in Hebrews 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As much as he healed then, he still wants to heal today. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, we read, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." In Psalm 103, verses 3 to 5, we read, "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Another great verse is Jeremiah 17, verse 14. It reads, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Jeremiah 30, verse 17, "For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wound, says the Lord." We read in Exodus 15, verse 26, "And the Lord said, if you will diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23, we read, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Another great verse is Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That same word can heal you today. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, it reads, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 is a great instruction for healing, especially if you have someone you can call to come pray for you. We read here, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, it reads, and these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Perhaps you have someone that could lay hands on you and pray for you. The Bible promise is this, that you will recover. Perhaps as you're facing this battle with an infirmity or sickness, you have wrestled with peace in your heart. I want to share just a few verses that will promise you peace as you go through this storm in your life. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, we read, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. In Romans chapter 16, verse 20, we read, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Another great verse on peace is Philippians 4, verse 9. The things which you learnt and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, we read, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and receive in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, we read, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called into one body, and be thankful. May that peace of God rule in your heart today. In Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, we read, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Psalm 29, verse 11, the psalmist writes, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And in John 14, 27, we read, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. May this great promise of Jesus be there for you today. Then also in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, we read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let requests be made known to God. Perhaps today in that room, you're anxious, you're troubled. This verse promises you not to be anxious, but to let those requests be made known to God. For then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. No matter what you're facing, what type of battle you're looking at, the Lord promises to give you courage. A few verses on courage are this. In Isaiah chapter 51, verses 11 to 12, it reads, so the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and the son of man who will be made like grass? In 1 Peter 1, verses 6 to 9, we read, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 is a great verse for courage. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Find the positive things to meditate on. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, the Lord Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." In Hebrews we read, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Oh, I encourage you today as you listen, don't quit believing and trusting now. Continue to have faith. For we read in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And in Galatians we read chapter 6, verse 9, "And let us not grow weary of well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." I want to read to you a psalm that David wrote that I'm sure will encourage you at this hour. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumble and fell. Though an army may encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father, my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver to me the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and as such breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Verse 14 is a great finale to this psalm. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." One of the things that you'll battle as you fight sickness and disease of any kind, you'll fight fear. The Bible has some great promises for us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, we read, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." One of the greatest psalms to battle fear is Psalm chapter 91. We read here, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. May these great scriptures of promise be yours today. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14, we read, "In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you." One of the most favorite psalms of all is Psalm chapter 23, where we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Another great verse to help us overcome fear is Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And finally, Psalm chapter 27, verses 1 to 3, we read, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumble and fall. Though an army may camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident." Perhaps you've prayed and you've asked God to be there and to help you, and doubt has tried to creep in. A couple of verses that will help you arrest doubt are Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 26. We read, "So Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you will have them. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." In 1 Thessalonians 5:24 we read, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, we read, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In Psalm 18, verse 30, we read, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" And then also in Isaiah 59, verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear." As you've listened to these scriptures on healing and courage and how to overcome fear, perhaps one of the greatest scriptures we need to hear is that we're not only right with God today, but we're right with God for eternity. A few verses that I'd like to read you are Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned." In Romans 3:23 we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In Romans 6:23 we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Romans 5, verse 8 we read, "That God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." These are important scriptures because not only do we want to have a strong physical body, we want to be strong spiritually inside. And how do we ask Christ to come into our life? How does God come into our life? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 13 reads, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. And verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then also we read in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then finally, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. It's a great miracle to receive a physical healing from the Lord, but the greatest miracle we can have is to know that we're right with God on the inside, to be born again, to be made new on the inside. As you've listened to these scriptures, your faith has been strengthened. God is not a respecter of persons. Whatever he has done for others, he'll also do for you. If you do not know Jesus personally, I ask you to pray this prayer after me, simply repeating these words. Today, Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior. I confess that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and died for my sins, and that by the power of God, you were raised from the dead. I ask you to come into my heart now and be my Lord and be my healer, my Savior, and my friend. If you want to pray for healing in your body, I ask you to simply repeat this prayer after me today. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. I praise you and worship you with all my heart. I love you. I believe, based upon your written word, that you desire healing for me. And I ask today that you bring healing into my body and take away every sickness and disease. I speak to every infirmity in my body, and I command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. I receive it today.
A number of years ago, I had the privilege of listening to Betty Baxter tell her story. It's a true story of how the Lord came and healed her body, and I would like to read it to you as told by herself. As far back as I can remember, I wasn't normal like other boys and girls, she writes. My body was twisted and crippled and deformed. I guess I'll never forget that awful feeling of no hope. I know how it feels to have the family doctor look in my face and say, Betty, there is no hope. Also to be carried from one hospital to another and see the specialists shake their heads and say, there is nothing medical science can do. I was born with a curve in my spine. Every vertebrae was out of place. The bones were twisted and matted together. As you know, the nerves are the center on the spine. The x-rays showed that the bones were twisted and matted together. Therefore, my nervous system was wrecked. One day, as I lay in the University Hospital in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I began to shake all over. It was sort of a trembling at first, but soon I was shaking violently from head to toe. I shook out of the bed and fell on the floor. The doctors rushed in and put me back on the bed. He said, this is what I had been expecting. She now has St. Vitus dance, and there's nothing to do but send her home. They took wide straps and strapped my body to the bed. It didn't keep me from shaking, but it did keep me from falling out of bed. They kept me strapped to the bed day and night, only removing them long enough for my nurse to bath me. When the straps were removed, my body would be raw and blistered. I knew what it was to suffer. I lived in pain. The doctors kept me on dope so I could endure the pain. When I came into the world, my heart was not normal, and under the power of dope, it grew worse. Eventually, I came to have a heart attack about every week. Alas, my body became so accustomed to the dope that it couldn't take full effect. I would bite my lips to keep from screaming while the hypo took effect, and then when the pain would not go, I would scream for another injection. Only after two or three injections could I get any relief from the torturing, racking pain. I remember the day the doctor took me off dope. He said to Mom, Mrs. Baxter, it isn't doing her any good. Her body's accustomed to it. He removed everything from my bed and said, Betty, I'm sorry, but I can't keep giving you morphine injections. That's all I know to do. I was only 9 years old at that time. Oh, how long the nights were as I lay racked with pain. Many times I would twist in the bed, struggling for a little relief and feel myself blacking out. Then for hours I would lay unconscious. I was raised in a Christian home. Mom had taught me ever since I can remember the story of Jesus. My mother believed the Bible and told me that Jesus was the same Savior today as he was when he walked the sandy shores of Galilee, and that he still heals today if people only believe and have faith in him. Before I go further into the story, I want to say that the greatest miracle that ever took place in my life was not when Jesus healed my crippled, twisted, deformed body, but when he saved my soul from sin. As long as I had Jesus in my heart, I could go to heaven, even though I was crippled, deformed in my body, but not if I was not saved by the blood of Jesus. My conversion happened when I was only 9 years old after hearing our pastor, Brother Davis, tell what he said was the greatest story in the world. It was the oldest story in the world, yet it was ever new, the story of Jesus. Beginning at Jesus' birth in the manger, Brother Davis told the beautiful story, finally ending with the cross and the resurrection. He told how with his two precious hands he touched the blind eyes and they saw, how he touched the deaf ear and it was unstopped, how he cleansed the leper, how he fed the multitude with a little boy's lunch, how his feet carried him over the hot blistering sands of Galilee while he preached the gospel to the people, how he walked on the water and did not sink. He told how the people, after all this, took Jesus, pierced his two precious hands with nails, thrust a spear in his side, and when they pulled it out, blood and water gushed out of his side and flowed down his limbs, the royal blood spilling on the ground. He said this blood had power to save from sin and heal our bodies from affliction today. It was the best story I'd ever heard. He began singing in his beautiful tenor voice, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See at the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Tears began trickling down my cheeks. I found myself kneeling and asking Jesus to save me. As I knelt, I saw a vision in my heart, and oh, it was black. I knew I couldn't get to heaven with a black heart full of sin. I said, Jesus, now I know that you died for me, and I want you to save me from my sins. I saw before me a big door in the shape of a heart. Jesus walked up to that door and listened. There was no knob or latch on the outside. You must open the door. Then Jesus knocked once and listened. Then the second and the third time he knocked, the door flew open. Jesus walked in. I knew I was saved. I felt the great burden of sin roll off me. Jesus is still in my heart today because if he had gone out, I would have known it. I told Brother Davis I was going to be an evangelist. Then he gently put his hand on my head and prayed a blessing over me. Later he told my parents, don't ever let this girl get away from the call of God. I have never seen a child her age have such an experience with the Lord as she has. But the hand of affliction began to cut my life short. The only relief I could get was through my mother's prayers. My daddy did not have the faith in Jesus to heal my body as Mom did, but he was a good dad and never hindered Mom from praying for me. My mother loved Jesus with a great love. I believe she understood Jesus better than anyone I ever knew. She seemed to know how to make my faith strong in him for him to heal me someday. My darkest hour came while they were wheeling me down the hospital corridor on a stretcher. The doctor walked up, stopped the stretcher, looked down at me and said, Betty, we have x-rayed your spine. Every vertebrae is out of place. The bones are twisted and matted together. Also, you need a new kidney. As long as the old kidney remains, you will have pain. Dad said, no, I'm going to do everything in my power to make my child well again, but never shall a knife touch my child. I have never had an operation except the one when Jesus did the operating, and he doesn't leave any scars. How wonderful it is when Jesus does everything for us. It is always perfect and never leaves any bad effects. Well, Mr. Baxter, the doctor said, we can never hope to untangle that mess of bones in Betty's body. Take her home and let her be as happy as possible. I was 11 years old at that time and had no idea the doctor was sending me home to die. I looked at him. Yes, doctor, but someday God will heal my body. I will be well and strong then. I had faith because Mom had read God's word to me and talked to me about Jesus. Mom's favorite scripture in those days were, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth, and nothing is impossible with God. They took me home where the doctor said I would soon die. I grew worse. The pain I had suffered before was nothing compared to what I began to feel after I returned home. I would go blind and for weeks could not see. I would become deaf and could not hear, dumb and could not speak. My tongue would swell, then would be paralyzed. Then the blindness would leave, also the deafness and the paralysis of the tongue. It seemed I was caught. Some awful power was trying to destroy me. But each day, Mom would pray with me and tell me God was able to heal my body. I can't count the many times that for day after day I saw no one but Dad, Mom, and the doctor. As I lay there during those years of loneliness, isolated from the world, I found out one thing. Doctors can isolate you from loved ones. They can take friends from your bedside, but they can never isolate you from Jesus, because he promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It was during these years of loneliness that I got acquainted with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Many people have said, Betty, why didn't God heal you when you were a little child and had such great faith? I don't know. God's ways are not my ways. God's ways are best. There is one thing I do know. During those awful years of loneliness and pain, I really got to know Jesus. He lives in the valley, my friend. He is the lily of the valley, and you will find him there if you look for him. Standing in the shadows, you will see Jesus. Mom would bathe me in the mornings, then she would leave me. Sometimes I would hear a soft walk by my bedside, and I would wonder if Mom had come into the room while I was not listening. Then I would hear a soft voice that I learned to know. It was not Dad's voice. It was not Mom's voice. It was not my doctor's voice. It was Jesus speaking to me. The first time this happened, he called me by my first name 3 times, very softly. He knows your name and where you live. Betty, Betty, Betty. He called me 3 times before I answered. I said, yes, Lord, stay and talk with me for a little while because I'm so lonesome. Would he stay and talk with me? Yes. He said a lot of things, but one thing I'll never forget. I believe the reason he always told me this was because he knew it thrilled me the most. This is what he always would say, Betty, I love you. Jesus would look down upon me in a pitiful condition, so crippled and deformed that when my daddy would stand me up, I stood only as high as my little 4-year-old brother. Large knots had grown on my spine, the first one at the base of my neck, then one right after the other to the base of my spine. My arms were paralyzed from my shoulders to my wrists. I could only move my fingers. My head was twisted and turned down on my chest. When I drank water, I had to drink from a tube because I couldn't raise my head. Yet in this condition, Jesus whispered that he loved me. I said, Jesus, help me to be patient because I can do anything as long as I know you love me. Many times he whispered, remember, child, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, friend, I'm confident that he loved me just as much as when I was crippled, forgotten by the world, as he does right now when I'm well and strong and able to work for him. I remember as Jesus stood by my bedside, I would ask him, Jesus, do you know the doctors won't give me any morphine for my pain? I wonder if you know how sharp the pain is in my back where the knots are. Jesus would say, oh, yes, I know. Don't you remember, one day, when I hung between heaven and earth, I took the pain and the sickness of the whole world upon me there. As the years went by, I gave up all hope of ever being made well by a doctor. Finally, my dad came in and took my crippled body in his arms and sat on the edge of the bed. He looked at me with big tears streaming down his rugged face and said, honey, you don't know. You don't have any idea what money is. But I have given up everything. I have spent all that I have and more, too, in order to get you well. Betty, your daddy has gone as far as he can go. There isn't any hope anymore. He took out his handkerchief, wiped his face. Then looking at me, he said, I don't believe Jesus will let you suffer much longer. He's going to take you to that place called heaven. And when you get inside, stand there and watch everyone that enters. Someday you'll see daddy coming through those gates. It won't be long. The doctors say it'll be soon. I wanted to say that although I had given up hope as far as man's help was concerned, I still had faith in God. One day, just before the sun went down, I was struck with such unbearable pain that I lapsed into unconsciousness. 3 hours later, my mother noticed my breathing was too slow and I scarcely had any pulse. She called the doctor. After an examination, he said, this is the end. She'll never regain consciousness. I lay unconscious for 4 days and nights. The family was called in and they took up the death watch. The 5th morning, I remember opening my eyes. Mom leaned over the bed and put her cool hand on my burning forehead. I felt as if I was burning up inside. Knife-like pains were shooting through my spine. Mother said, Betty, it's Mother. Don't you know me? I couldn't speak but smiled at her. She raised her hands toward heaven and began praising God, for she felt God had answered her prayers and given me back to her. As I lay there looking at her, I thought, which would I rather do, stay here with my mother and daddy or go to that place that Mother had read to me about, a place where there is no pain? I remember Mom used to say, Betty, there are no cripples in heaven. Everyone can walk in heaven. She said that in heaven there was no sickness or death, and that God took his big handkerchief and wiped away all the tears from the eyes. I prayed a prayer that day, I suppose many other people have prayed. Jesus, I know I'm saved and ready to go to heaven, Now, Lord, all these years I pray to be healed, but I've been denied. Lord, I've reached the end of the way, and I'm not particular what you do. Please come and take me to that place called heaven. As I prayed, a thick darkness settled over me. I felt coldness creeping through my body. In a moment's time, it seemed I was cold all over and completely surrounded by darkness. As a child, I'd always been afraid of the dark, so I began crying. Where am I? What is this place? Where's my daddy? I want my daddy. But my friend, there is a time when daddy can't go with you. There is a time when mother can't go with you. They can stand and see you draw your last breath, but it takes Jesus to go the way of death with you. As the darkness settled about me, I saw through the darkness a long, dark, narrow valley. And when inside this valley, I began to scream, where am I? What is this place? And from a distance, I recognized my mother's voice speaking slowly. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I remember saying, this must be the valley of death. I prayed to die, and I guess to get to Jesus, I'll have to walk it. And I started to walk this dark place. Friend, as sure as you live, you're going to die, and when death comes upon you, you will have to walk through this valley. I'm confident that if you don't have Jesus, you will have to walk in this darkness alone. I'd barely got inside when the place lit up with the light of day. I felt something strong and firm take hold of my hand. I didn't need to look. I knew it was the strong, nail-scarred hand of the Son of God who had saved my soul. He took my hand and held it tightly, and I went on through the valley. I wasn't afraid anymore. I was happy, for now I was going home. My mother had said in heaven I would have a new body, that one that would be straight instead of bent, twisted, and crippled. At last we heard music in the distance, the most beautiful music I ever heard. We quickened our steps. We came to a wide river separating us from the beautiful land. I looked on the other side and saw green grass, flowers of every color, beautiful flowers that would never die. I saw the river of life winding its way through the city of God. Standing on its banks was a company of those who had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and they were singing Hosanna to the King. I looked at them. Not a single one had knots on their spine or a face marred and marked with pain. I said, in a few minutes, I'm going to join that heavenly band, and that moment I'll step up on the other side, I will be straight and strong. I was anxious to get across. I knew I wouldn't have to cross it alone, for Jesus would be with me. But at that very moment, I heard the voice of Jesus, and as I stood at attention, as I do when the Master speaks, very softly, with great kindness, Jesus said, no, Betty, it's not your time to cross yet. Go back and fulfill the call I gave you when you were 9 years old. Go back, for you're going to have a healing in the fall. As I stood and listened to the words of Jesus, I must confess I was disappointed. I remember I said, as tears rolled down my face, when I'm so close to happiness and health, why must Jesus deny me? I've never known a well day in my life. Now when I'm so close to heaven, why can't I go on in? Then I thought, oh, what was I saying? Turning to Jesus, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Your way is better than my way. I'll go back. I slowly regained consciousness. Then the doctor said I would not last through the summer months. For weeks after that, I could not speak. The knots grew larger. I would hear Mom say, Dad, look. The knots are so hard and they're getting larger. She must be suffering. I couldn't tell her just how I was suffering because the words would not come. Listen, I know what it is to be in such pain that I would bite my lips to keep from screaming with pain so that my mother could get some sleep. Early summer came. Everyone in Martin County, Minnesota, knew the little Baxter girl was dying. Saints and sinners alike came to my bedside, but most of the time I was unconscious. When I was conscious, they would pat me on the shoulder, say a kind word, and pass on. But during my moments of consciousness, I never gave up hope. I couldn't speak out loud, but in my heart I said, Lord, as soon as fall comes, I'll have a healing, won't I, Jesus? I never doubted because Jesus never breaks a promise. Jesus is a man of his word. I kept believing he was going to heal me in the fall. That summer, on the 14th day of August, my speech returned. I hadn't spoken for weeks, and I said, Mom, what day is today? She said, the 14th day of August. My daddy came in at noon. I said, Daddy, where's the big chair? Please put the pillows in it and set me in the big chair. The only way I could sit in the chair was with my head resting on my knees and my arms hanging down at my sides. I said, Daddy, when you go out, close the door. Tell Mom not to come in for a while. I want to be alone. I heard my daddy sob as he left the room, and he didn't ask any questions. He knew what I wanted, to be alone. I had an appointment with the King. My friend, I want to tell you that you can have an appointment with Jesus at any time. you want to talk with him. Any hour of the day or night, he is ready to talk to you. I heard Dad click the door. I began to cry and sob. I didn't know how to pray. All I knew to do was merely talk to Jesus, but it got the job done. I said, Lord, you remember months ago, I almost got to go to heaven, and you wouldn't let me in. Jesus, you promised if I would go back that you would have a healing for me this fall. I asked Mom this morning what day it was, and she said the 14th day of August. Jesus, I guess you don't count this fall yet because it's still awful hot, but Lord, I wonder if just for this one year you could call this fall and come and heal me. The pain is so bad, Jesus. I've gone as far as I can go. I can't stand the pain any longer. I wonder, Lord, if you will call this fall and come heal me. I listened. Heaven was quiet, but I didn't give up. I pray differently than some people, I guess. If I don't hear from heaven, I pray until Jesus answers. I listened a little while longer. When there was no answer, I began to cry again. I said, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a bargain. Now, Jesus, listen to me. I'm going to bargain with you. Jesus, if you'll heal me and make me well inside and outside, I'll go and preach every night until I'm 90 years old if you want me to. Listen, God knew I was sincere. I prayed again, Lord, I'll do more than that. If you'll heal me so I can walk and use my arms and be strong and normal, I'll give you my whole life. It'll be no longer belonging to Betty Baxter. It'll be yours and yours alone. I listened after I made these vows. This time I was rewarded. I heard the voice of Jesus speaking audibly to me. He spoke these words, I'm going to heal you completely August 24th, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. A thrill of hope and expectancy swept through my entire body. God told me the day and the hour. He knows everything, doesn't he? The first thought that came to me was, won't Mom be glad when I tell her? Just think how happy she will be when I tell her I know the day and the hour. Then Jesus spoke again, and he said to me, now don't tell this to anyone until the time comes. I thought, I've never kept anything from my mother. How will I keep this from her? Before I got healed, I walked softly before the Lord for fear I would do something that would displease him. I was afraid to tell my mother I knew the day and the hour. After Jesus told me this, I felt like a new person. I didn't mind the sharp pains anymore or the violent throbbing of my enlarged heart. The 24th day of August would soon come, and I would have relief. I heard the door open, and Mom walked in. She knelt down the rug and looked up in my face. I wanted to tell her what Jesus had told me. The hardest thing I ever did was to keep from telling her. I looked at Mom. I thought, something has happened to Mom. She looks so pretty and young today. Then I thought the reason she looked so different was that I knew the secret about my healing the next Sunday. I looked at her again, and I was convinced more than ever that something had happened to her. Her eyes had never shone like that before. Then all at once she leaned over me, pushed the hair back from my forehead, and said, honey, do you know when the Lord is going to heal you? Well, I knew, but I wasn't supposed to tell. I couldn't say no, for I would not be telling the truth. So I said, when? Mom smiled and said, August 24th, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I said, Mom, how do you know? Did I let it slip and tell you? She said, no, the same God that talks to you talks to me. When my mother said that, I was doubly sure God would heal my body the 24th day of August and make me well. I said, Mom, am I getting straighter? Are the knots going away? She looked at me and said, no, Betty, you are getting more bent every day and the knots are growing larger. I said, Mom, do you still believe God will heal me the 24th day of August? She said, sure I do. All things are possible if we only believe. Many people have asked how my mother knew the day I would be healed. While the Lord was talking to me, the rest of the family were in the dining room eating. My mother had taken a fork full of food, and as she was about to put it into her mouth, it dropped back on the plate with a clatter. Then she heard the inner voice of God speak and say, I've heard your prayers, and I'm going to reward your faithfulness. I'm going to heal Betty August 24th, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And as she knows the same thing, as I have already told her. So when Mom came to the room, she already knew that the Lord had told me the day and the hour that I would be healed. I said, Mom, listen to me. I haven't had a dress on or shoes on my feet since I was a little girl. I have worn these night clothes all these years. Mom, when Jesus heals me Sunday afternoon, I'm going to church Sunday night. The stores are closed on Sunday. Mom, if you really believe Jesus is going to heal me, will you go to Fairmount this afternoon and get me some new clothes? Will you, Mom? My mother showed her faith by her works. Sure I will. I will go to town today and get you some new clothes so you can wear them on Sunday night, she said. As she was driving away, Dad stopped her. Where are you going? I'm going to town, she said. What for? He asked. Well, I'm going to get a new dress and shoes for Betty. Now, Mother, you know we won't have to buy her a new dress until we lay her away. Let's not think about that until we have to, Dad said. Oh, no, she has had a word from Jesus that he is going to heal her Sunday afternoon, the 24th, and I've heard it too. I'm going to Fairmount to get some new clothes for her. My mother brought them home and showed them to me. I thought the dress was the most beautiful I'd ever seen. The shoes were patent leather and very pretty. Packed among my treasures in the bottom of an old chest in my mother's home up in Iowa, there lies that old blue dress right now. After my healing, I wore it until I got a hole in it where I'd rubbed it against the pulpit when I preached. I said, Mom, don't you think I'll look pretty when I get straight and can put on this dress and these shoes? When people came to see me, I would say, Mom, get my dress and my shoes and let my friends see them. They looked at me, then at the dress and shoes, and then at my mother. I knew they thought strange of me, but I knew exactly what was going to happen on the 24th day of August. Yes, there are a lot of people who stand by and said, if I could only see a miracle, I would believe. But if you don't believe it before you see, you will find some excuse after it happens. I told a neighbor of ours who was not a Christian that if he wanted to see me tall and straight, be at our house Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock because Jesus is going to come and heal me. He looked at me and said, listen, I want to tell you that if that day comes when I see you straight, I'll not only become a Christian, but I'll be Pentecostal. Today he's still unsaved. Saturday, the 23rd of August came. My mother always slept in a bed in my room so as to be near me. That night, when she got me all settled, I fell asleep. Sometime in the night I was awakened. The moon was shining through the window across the foot of my bed. I heard somebody mumbling, and I wondered if Daddy was in my room talking to my mother. Then I saw a form on bended knees with arms raised in the moonlight. It was Mom, and tears were streaming down her face. She was praying, Lord Jesus, I've tried to be a good mother to Betty. I've tried hard to teach her about you. Now, Jesus, I've never been away from her, but when you heal her, I'm going to let her go anywhere you want her to go, even across the stormy sea, because you're going to do for her tomorrow what no one else could ever do. She's yours, Jesus. Tomorrow is the day you will set her free, won't you, Jesus? I dropped off to sleep again. I couldn't stay up to pray, but Mom took my place. It is because of her faith that I believe in God today, that I have a healing for my body. Sunday morning came. Daddy took my brothers and sisters to Sunday school. They said he requested prayer for me with a broken heart, telling the people that I was much worse and was going to die if God didn't undertake. I asked my pastor to be present that day at 3 o'clock, but he said that he had an appointment to try out for a church in Chicago, and that was the only time he could go, but for us to wire him if I got my healing. My mother invited a few friends in, saying, be sure and get there about 2:30 because 3 o'clock is the hour. They came at 2 o'clock. They said, Mrs. Baxter, we're early, but we know something is going to happen, and we don't want to miss it. That is the atmosphere they had around me when I was healed. At 3:50, my mother came to my bedside. I said, Mom, what time is it? She said, just 15 minutes before Jesus is coming to heal you. I said, Mom, take me and place me in the big chair. She carried me and set my twisted body in the chair and propped me up with pillows. I saw the people as they knelt on the floor around the chair. I saw my baby brother, 4 years old, and I realized I was so bent that I stood only as high as he did. He knelt down by me, looked up and said, Sis, it's not very long now until you'll be taller than me. At 3:10, my mother asked me what I wanted to do. I said, Mom, start praying. I want to be praying when Jesus comes. I heard her sobbing and praying for Jesus to keep his promise and come heal my body. I didn't lose consciousness, but I became lost in the Spirit of God. I saw before me 2 rows of trees standing tall and straight. As I watched, I saw one of them in the center began to bend until the tip of it touched the ground. I wondered why this one tree was all bent over. Then down the road I saw Jesus. He came walking through the trees, and my heart thrilled, as it always does when I see Jesus. He came and stood by the bent tree. He stood and looked at it a moment, and I wondered what he would do. Then he looked at me and smiled and placed his hand on the bent tree. With a loud crack and pop, it straightened up like the other. I said, Now that's me all right. He will touch my body, and the bones will crack and pop, and I will stand up straight and be well. Suddenly, I heard a great noise, as if a storm was coming. I heard the wind as it roared. I tried to speak above the noise. He's coming, don't you hear him? He has come at last. Then all at once, the noise subsided. All was calm and quiet, and I knew in the quietness Jesus would come. I sat in the big chair, a hopeless cripple. I was so hungry to see him. All at once, I saw a great white fleecy cloud form. It wasn't the cloud I was waiting for. Then out of the cloud stepped Jesus. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a dream. I saw Jesus. As he came walking slowly towards me, I looked at his face. The most striking thing about Jesus is his eyes. He was tall and broad and dressed in robes glistening white. His hair was brown, parted in the middle, fell over his shoulders in soft waves. I will never forget his eyes. Many times when my body is worn and I'm asked to do something for Jesus, I would like to say no. When I remember his eyes, they compel me to go out into the harvest field to win more souls. Jesus came slowly toward me with his arms outstretched. I noticed the ugly prints of the nails in his hands. The closer he got to me, the better I felt. When he came real close, I began to feel very small and unworthy. I wasn't anything but a little forgotten girl who was deformed and crippled. Then all at once he smiled at me, and I wasn't afraid anymore. He was my Jesus. His eyes held mine, and if ever I looked into eyes filled with beauty and compassion, they were the eyes of Jesus. There aren't many people I've seen who have eyes like Jesus, but when I see one who has that love and compassion in their eyes, I wish I could stay close to them. That is the way I feel about Jesus. I want to live as close to him as I can. Jesus came and stood at the side of my chair. One part of his garment was loose and it fell inside my chair, and if my arms had not been paralyzed, I could have touched his garment. I thought when he came to heal me, I would start talking to him and ask him to heal me, but I couldn't say a word. I just looked at him and kept my eyes on his dear face, trying to tell him how much I needed him. He leaned down and looked up in my face and spoke softly. I can hear every word right now because it is written in my heart. He said very softly, "Betty, you've been patient, kind, and loving." As he spoke these words, I thought I could suffer 15 more years if I could see Jesus and hear him speak to me again. He said, "I'm going to promise you health, joy, and happiness." I saw him reach out his hands, and I waited. Then I felt his hands go over the knots on my spine. People say, "Don't you ever get tired of telling your healing?" No, because every time I tell it, I can feel his hand again. He placed his hand on the very center of my spine, on one of the large knots. All at once, a hot feeling, as hot as fire, surged through my body. Two hot hands took my heart and squeezed it, and when those hot hands let my heart go, I could breathe normal, and I knew my heart was normal for the first time in my life. Two hot hands rubbed over the organs of my stomach, and I knew my organic trouble was healed. I would not need a new kidney, and I would be able to digest my food because he had healed me. The hot feeling ran through my body. Then I looked at Jesus to see if he would leave me just healed inside. Jesus smiled, and I felt the pressure of his hands on the knots. As his hands pressed in the middle of my spine, there was a tingling sensation like I'd touched a live wire. I felt the sensation like an electrical current, and I stood on my feet just as straight as I am now. I was healed inside and outside. In 10 seconds, Jesus had healed me and made me every whit whole. He did for me in a few moments what the doctors could not do. The great physician did it, and he did it perfectly. You say, "Betty, how did you feel when you jumped out of the chair?" You'll never know unless you were once a hopeless cripple. You'll never know unless you sat in a chair with no hope. I ran to my mother and said, "Mom, feel, the knots are gone." She felt my spine and said, "Yes, they're gone." I heard the bones crack and pop. "Betty, you're healed, you're healed. Praise him for it." I turned around and looked back at the chair that was empty, and tears rolled down my cheeks. My body was light because I didn't have any pain. I felt tall because I'd been bent almost double with my head on my chest. The knots were gone and my spine was straight. I raised my arms and pinched one of them. My arms had feeling. They weren't paralyzed anymore. Then I looked and saw my baby brother standing in the front of the chair. Big tears were rolling down his little cheeks. Looking up at me, I heard him say, "I saw Sis jump out of the big chair. I saw Jesus heal Sis." He was really thrilled. I picked up the chair, raised it above my head and said, "See what the God I serve can do." Standing right behind my brother, Jesus still stood. He looked at me from the soles of my feet to the top of my head. I was straight and normal. Holding my eyes with his, he began to speak slowly, and I'm going to tell you what he said. "Betty, I'm giving you the desire of your heart to be healed. You are normal and well. You have health now. You are completely well because I healed you." Pausing a moment, he gave me a searching look, and with authority in his lovely voice, he said, "Now remember, every day look at the clouds and watch. The next time you see me coming in a cloud, I will not leave you here, but I will take you to be with me forever. Friend, he's coming back again."